This is a Federal News Network podcast.
Contracting is a big part of the federal response to the pandemic, so don't expect protests to stop. For a bit of perspective and our usual analysis of a recent case, we turn to federal procurement attorney Joseph Petrillo of Petrillo and Powell. And Joe, having watched this for so many years, you have no expectation that protests will stop just because of the pandemic is keeping everybody in.
Well, that hasn't happened so far. GAO is continuing to receive protest filings. They're continuing to decide them. There was a little blip yesterday when the electronic filing system was unavailable for a few hours, but they had a workaround, an email workaround for that. And after it was restored, business was back to usual.
Now, how much of a protest case actually happens in person? Not very much, I guess.
These days, very little. Conferences are held by phone. There are hearings, which are in person, but I'm sure there are ways of doing that telephonically, if need be, or remotely with video conferencing. As far as I can tell, litigation is proceeding at the boards of contract appeals in a relatively normal way. They're issuing decisions. Same is true at the Court of Federal Claims.
All right, so some parts of the good old American system can't be stopped by even a pandemic. And let's talk about this recent case. This has to do with trucking contracts overseas in a place that people like to forget that we're still at, and that is in Afghanistan.
Right. This is a decision by the recent decision by the Court of Federal Claims in a case called Vanquish Worldwide. That case involved contracts that Vanquish Worldwide had with the Department of Defense under a program called the National Afghanistan Trucking Contract Vehicle. This is a multiple award, indefinite delivery, indefinite quantity contract. And under those vehicles, the contract holders compete for and are awarded contracts. The wrinkle in this particular case, in terms of the ordering process, was that the Department of Defense put together a thing called the Order of Merit List, or OML, and they would rate the relative performance and price of the contractors. And based on that, every week, compute the OML, which had an allocation percentage for the work to be assigned each week to each contractor.
So this was almost like a continuous evaluation of the work they were doing week by week.
Exactly, and it was the basis for awarding contracts. I've seen this type of method used in other contracts. For instance, the Department of Energy's debt collection contracts have a similar system. The OML percentages, however, didn't match what Vanquish thought it should, the orders that Vanquish thought they should get, and so the orders they did get, and so they were interested in getting some recourse for that. Now, as you may know, under these multiple award vehicles, the ability to protest the award of orders is limited. You can certainly protest an order that you think is outside the scope of the contract, but other than that, there's a dollar threshold, which is pretty high. It's $25 million at DOD and $10 million in the civilian agencies, and if your order falls under the threshold, there's no protest you can bring.
So basically, it's a task order system under this IDIQ that included multiple vendors.
Exactly. And you know, like all these IDIQs, these vehicles have become extremely popular, and lots of acquisition is pumped through them. Because of the limited protest rights, they have less accountability and transparency than other contracting methods. So, you know, the question of what remedies the contractor has is one that's more important in these issues, because some of the remedies are not available. But Vanquish did find a way to get its day in court. What happens is that there is a line of cases that it started in the Armed Services Board of Contract Appeals many years ago with a case called Communities Consulting. And that line of cases relied upon a contract clause that you need to have in these contracts, which gives the contractors a fair opportunity to compete for orders. And the contractor can, if it doesn't get that fair opportunity, charge the government with a breach of contract and sue for damages. That's what Communities Consulting did, and the Armed Services Board said that was a reasonable thing to do. It was a possible thing to do under the contract.
It's almost like protest light.
It's similar to protests, and that's what the issue was in Vanquish Worldwide. They brought a claim and then a case for an appeal of the contracting officer's denial of their claim, saying that the government had breached the Fair Opportunity Clause. The Fair Opportunity Clause there was tied into the Order of Merit list, so and that whole system. In this instance, the government said, no, you can't do that. This is really just a disguised protest, as you suggested. So the court had to decide whether this was a protest, which couldn't be brought because of the $25 million threshold, or whether it was a breach of contract case. And they decided that it was a breach of contract case because, for one thing, the remedy was different. In a protest, you're contesting the award of a contract or order and trying to get that award decision overturned and hopefully get the order awarded to you. In a breach of contract case, however, the only remedy is going to be money damages. And you're alleging the breach of a particular contract requirement, and that's what Vanquish did in this case. So the Court of Federal Claims said the case would not be dismissed and allowed Vanquish to proceed and try to prove its case.
So more to follow, in other words.
Exactly.
Well, we'll keep an eye on it. Joseph Petrillo is a procurement attorney with Petrillo and Powell. As always, thanks so much. And stay safe.
Thank you, Tom.
We'll post this interview at federalnewsnetwork.com/Federal Drive. Hear the Federal Drive on your schedule. Subscribe at Apple Podcasts or Podcast One. Stay up to date on your agency's latest responses to coronavirus. Visit our special resource page at federalnewsnetwork.com.
Hey, Keurig coffee drinkers. Did you know that the bold, smooth taste of Dunkin' cold coffee can be brewed in your Keurig coffee maker and enjoyed at home? Dunkin's cold K-Cup pods were crafted to be brewed hot and enjoyed cold. And of course, they're packed with the Dunkin' flavor you crave. Brew over ice and sip in seconds. Because the home with Dunkin' is where you want to be.